Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Howdy doody partners, welcome to the catch up.
What is a Tuesday or whatever day it is when you're listening to this, welcome.
Do you reckon I can pull off howdy doody?
No, you can't.
No? Can anyone?
No, it's horrible. That's very dated.
What about like Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yeah, he probably could because he's timeless. We're not though. It's like something you'd see on The Wiggles or Play School. Howdy doody, kids.
What does it take to become timeless? Because I'd like to attempt it.
Well, I'll tell you who is timeless.
Who?
Someone we had on our show today. This is how you become timeless.
Okay.
You get Huey from Huey's Cooking Adventures on your show.
Of course.
Huey.
Timeless if I've ever seen it. He does join us on today's show, you're right. We always also speak to a ninja warrior. Ninja Warriors timeless?
Yeah.
We'll see.
They're a bit
check
seasonal.
Check back in 30 years and see if it's still going on TV. They're seasonal. We also talk about the dream place to get stuck. You got stuck somewhere interesting.
Yeah, Mario joins us. We needed an update on Mac Horton, our swimmer, and got his political thoughts on it.
I feel like we sound a bit dejected right now.
Really?
In this podcast intro.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just feel like our energy's not there. So let's like wrap up the podcast intro on a real high.
Well, you've only had 3 hours sleep.
Yeah,
so.
True. True. That's very true. I did have a fluff ball go up my nose before the start of the show. That put
me off. And also I had a laugh about a chihuahua that went missing. Sounds mean, but trust me, it wasn't.
All right. Enjoy the catch-up, guys. Have the best day ever. We'll speak to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Is that peppy enough?
Are we ready?
The catch-up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Yesterday on the show, we spoke about some breaking news, and that was that Aussie swimmer Mac Horton had staged a bit of a protest in the World Swimming Championships. He finished silver in his freestyle race, and the man who got gold is a Chinese man named Sun Yang.
Cheat.
Who has been done for doping in the past and
cheater.
Is currently under investigation for allegedly doing doping at the moment, which could rule him out of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
Good.
So Mac decided that he wouldn't take the podium next to Sun as protest to his actions.
Takes a lot of guts and courage.
It does. It was a huge stance, and the backlash for him has been pretty heavy. He has been officially sanctioned by FINA, and also he's receiving death threats. Him and his family and his girlfriend are all receiving death threats from Chinese supporters. So it was a big stance to make. And usually when anything kind of political, which I suppose this is, happens on our show, we like to get one man on and one man only.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Amore, it is your pleasure, okay?
Straight out of the gym and onto the airwaves.
Yeah, mate, it's Mario.
Mario from Chef, it's been a while, but he joins us now. Good morning, Mario.
Yeah, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I've missed the sound of your Italian voice, Mario. It's been so long since I've spoken to you.
Yeah, mate, very long. Very long.
Too long, my friend. Now, we often get your thoughts on political stuff, and this is kind of political. It's like sporting politics. What are your thoughts on the Mac Horton situation?
Well, my goodness, this is wrapped up in controversy and layers and layers, isn't it, my
Yeah, so right. So many layers. It's like an onion.
Well, let's start with the first layer, Mario. What do you think?
Well, the first layer being Mac Horton's protest. You know, I think he's been a good boy, you know. You've got to stick by what you think, you know. And he believes that this Chinese man, Sun Yang, is it? I can't remember his
name. That's the one, yep.
Yeah, man, he got tested positive and banned. And everyone believes he's a drug cheat. So I think it's okay to protest, you know. He's not saying any mean things like, Mario, you is a loser or something like that. He's just choosing not to stand next to him and recognise his victories. This is not a problem, you know. I think this is all right.
Mario, though, but, you are somebody that, you know, works out in the gym and allegedly uses a bit of the roids from time to time. So shouldn't you be on the side of the Chinese guy?
And mate, I'm not allegedly. Mate, I do not hide the use that I like to use the juice. But, you know, the difference between me and these other naughty athletes is, mate, they are competing. Mate, I do not compete, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're just competing with the other dudes in Shep who are ripped and you just want to be the most ripped, right? There's no actual money or competition involved.
There's no competition, trust me. Believe me, Ellie. There's no competition. So it's like a Ferrari and a BMW. If you drive a Ferrari, you get to drive slow because everyone knows how powerful you is, right? The thing is, my friends, if you get caught breaking the rules, you should not be allowed to compete.
So you reckon that Mac Horton shouldn't have been sanctioned for his protest?
No, mate, I think it's a good platform or podium to launch a protest.
Pun intended?
There was definitely puns intended, Ellie. I think it's good. It's getting people talking about the situation, so good on him, you know?
All right. Well, you're very political this morning, Mario. I love it. Thank you for weighing in on your thoughts, and we'll let you get back to the gym. Yeah,
and before you go, have you got any messages for the Chinese athlete Sun Yang in case he's listening this morning?
Not just for the Chinese, but the Russians too. You come to me, I'll teach you how to do the good stuff and nothing.
We are not endorsing that, Mario. We are not endorsing it.
Oh, good on you, Mario. Have a good day, mate.
Any Albanians, any Ukrainians, you come to me.
Okay. I'll give you a call off here, mate.
Okay, goodbye, my friend. Get up
with Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Ellie, I don't know whether to laugh or cry at this story. A mum's heartbreaking plea after her pet dog has been stolen.
Okay, sounds at this stage like you should probably cry.
It sounds like it's sad, but it's when you start visualising it.
Is it kind of like a this situation?
Okay. Very similar. Okay. All right, here's a picture of a little baby chihuahua. Its name is Gizmo. Describe to people how cute Gizmo is.
Oh, Gizmo's cute. Small? Is it like a baby chihuahua?
Oh, no, it's just a standard chihuahua. They're the smallest dogs, so they're always quite small. Yeah. They don't often get big.
Okay, cool.
Now, visualise this. You're in England, in a place called Devonshire, right?
They make tea there.
Gizmo has been I can't.
Stop. What? By like a mafia?
No.
A ring? Like a dog fighting ring?
Keep guessing.
No, like a... Oh, God, he hasn't been stolen for, like, Macca's purposes.
Visualise this.
Put it in a burger, chihuahua burger.
And this is why I'm laughing. I'm sad that he's been stolen.
You're not, because you're laughing heaps.
A seagull has come.
Oh, stop.
Come.
A seagull?
Pick Gizmo a chihuahua up and flown off with him.
That must be a big old seagull. That must be like the ones from Finding Nemo.
I just can't believe this story. Surely a seagull, even if it's the world's biggest seagull, can't carry a chihuahua, even though they're a small dog.
Oh, Gizmo. So where is he now?
They don't know. That's why the mother's put the call out. She's distraught. Their six-year-old daughter is in tears because a seagull has allegedly flown off with the dog. And I say allegedly because I'm wondering if there's more to this story.
Yeah, I feel like this is a creative way to say that Gizmo went to the farm.
Maybe.
You know?
Oh, to the daughter.
Yeah.
Well, the mum's put the call out on social media and the police have got involved. However, the RSPCA have come and said this isn't typical gull behaviour.
No, because seagulls cannot carry chihuahuas. They do not have the strength.
Well, this one might have, and they're very common in this part of the UK. My only other thought is maybe, Ellie, and tell me if you reckon this is true or not, maybe they had good insurance on Gizmo. And like you said, he went to the farm.
Yeah.
The mum didn't tell anyone else that he's gone to the farm and they've... just set a gull's taking him, hoping for a bit of extra coin.
Yes. This is like Dingo Stole My Baby, but like version 2, the 2019 version.
This is how much England sucks, right? We have a real Dingo Steal My Baby story.
Yeah.
Their equivalent is a seagull and a chihuahua.
We know who let the dogs out. The mum, 100%. The seagull had nothing to do with it.
So are we laughing or crying this morning?
We're in disbelief of the story.
Hit Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
How's this? Last night I was eating dinner and, you know, I famously come out on this show and say how much I love dessert.
Yeah, you're a real sweet tooth.
You know, I can smash a block of chocolate. I can't stop at one or two pieces. It has to be the whole thing, the whole block.
Which you can tell just by looking at you.
The pantry, yeah, huge belly. The pantry was empty last night, so I thought, what is going to make me happy tonight? And that is my one and only famous friend, Cold Rock. And we know there's Cold Rock in Shepparton.
Yeah.
Now, I wandered into the store and got the usual... It's sad when I wander in and the girls, if it's the same girls that are working that have seen me on other nights, they know what the usual is.
Oh, God, what, like a triple stack, double chuck peppermint?
No, I've said this on the show before. That's the only way to go. Two scoops of Milo ice cream, extra flake and extra Maltesers. Delicious. You have
it's a lot of chocolate.
It's a lot of chocolate. They mash it in.
But what flavour ice cream?
Milo ice cream.
Oh.
So they have Milo flavoured ice cream. Two scoops of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they crush the flake in there. And then they crush Maltesers, put in a little thing, give it to you in the cup. Delicious. Anyway, I'm there with my grin. No regrets. I know it's a Monday. Who cares? Walking out of Cold Rock, go to, they've got one of those automatic sliding doors.
Yeah.
When I go to walk out, the doors won't open. I was like, oh, that's all right. They must be about to shut. So I go to press the little green, you know, emergency button that lets you out.
Yeah.
Press that, door still doesn't open. And so I turn to the girl and she's like, oh, so sorry. I don't know why it's doing that. She comes over to try and open. It doesn't open. And I'm like, am I stuck in Cold Rock? I'm like, this is actually all my dreams, ever in life, all I wanted.
Yeah.
And so I said to the girl, go back and serve the customers. Don't worry about letting me out. I'm so happy here. I'll sit down and eat my ice cream. Don't open the doors. We're on. She serves them, comes back to open it because they obviously need to open the doors.
Yeah.
And I was having to chat to her. I'm like, please, honestly, this is my dream. And she goes, well, I was like, if they don't end up opening, can we just help ourselves? She's like, yeah, do you want another scoop? I was like, I love you. I've never said that to someone I've just met, but I really love you. I want to talk about...
Bit cold, though. You know, like if I were to pick anywhere I'd want to stay, you know, because I often do this. It's a weird thing I have. Like if I'm stuck here for the night, what would I do to survive?
Eat ice cream.
Like, yeah, you could eat the ice cream. But then like what about temperature-wise? It's going to get cold.
Oh, yeah, because
you've got
the
fridges
fridge.
All around you.
Good point.
Where are you going to sleep?
That's true, on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'd want to be stuck somewhere like Kmart. You know, my love for it. Just spoke about it before.
Disneyland?
There's bedding and stuff there.
Oh, yeah. They've got the beds out.
Yeah, you could get yourself a doona from the quilt section, a pillow. You are set. And then you could just go play with the toys.
Yeah.
Try on some clothes. The dream situation.
Like I just said, Disneyland would be my other dream place. Yeah. Imagine having a whole theme park to yourself.
I mean, I don't want to play devil's advocate here,
but
you wouldn't know how to operate the rides.
Well,
so
hopefully one of the operators is stuck in there with me. That's my dream anyway. And there was a Cold Rock in the Disneyland, so I can help myself to the ice cream whilst I'm good for dinner.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, 13, 12, 16. Where would you like to be stuck overnight? That's the question we're asking this morning. Let's have a bit of fun this morning.
Tradies. Is it the Playboy Mansion? Because I can understand why.
Why? What would you do there?
Women.
Oh.
Everywhere. Bikinis.
Oh. I thought you just read. All dead. I know about that is it's a magazine. I thought maybe you just read.
Oh, no, the Playboy Mansion. Yeah, it's a place.
Okay. All right. Hey, 13, 12, 16. Get involved this morning. Where's your dream place to be stuck?
Hit Breakfast with Desire and Ellie.
Let's go to Anthony from Echuca. Anthony, where's your dream place to be stuck?
No, I got stuck in Dan Murphy's cool room. It wasn't overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But they stacked a 5 or so pallets in front of the door.
Stop.
And I was back into the door down and pushing it and I couldn't get out.
Did you crack open a couple of stubbies, mate?
I actually did, to be surprised.
I mean, kind of scary though, because it is a cool room. That's almost like the opposite to a sauna. Both you don't really want to get stuck in.
Yeah.
It's the middle of winter. Got out next couple of days later, I was having the flu.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, so, all right, how long in total were you in there for?
Oh, that would have been a good hour or so.
Really?
Knock it, yeah.
Were you banging on the door or anything like that?
Yeah. Trying to bang it, was kicking it.
Were you stressing?
No, I was just relaxing, having a few stubbies.
I was going to say.
What'd you go for?
Just the old Great Northern.
Great Northern.
Go for a mid-strength. Yeah. Mate, you've got every beer in the world to choose from in that fridge. Like, that's almost, you could have had one from each case.
Yeah, surely you go for the craft beers.
Yeah, that's it.
Good on you, mate.
And you've got an excuse because you needed a booze blanket. Yeah. You know, it was very cold in there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for your call, Anthony.
Thank you.
No worries at all. Let's move on to Katie from Shep. Katie, where's your dream location to be stuck?
Well, I was actually stuck there, so I've already kind of lived my dream. I was stuck on a ride in Disneyland, and, like, that sounds good, but it's kind of scary at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That would terrify me, especially, like, lately with the theme park.
Yeah, but you weren't upside down or anything like that, were you, Katie?
No, they just couldn't get my bar up. So it was like I was going to go around, like, all day. And it takes so long to line up and get to the front of the line. So I was stoked. I was like, if you can't get me out, just leave me. I'll go around this ride a couple more times. No drama.
What ride was it?
It was the Indiana Jones one.
Okay.
Doesn't that one go backwards?
I honestly can't. I don't think so. I cannot remember. I just know that you're in a... I'm pretty sure you're in a car.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, I couldn't get out, so there I was.
So how long in total were you on it for, do you reckon?
Oh, not too long, but I was kind of hoping... Like, I didn't get to go round again, which kind of sucked a bit. But I was like, guys, this is fine. Like, no need to stress. Everyone was like, oh, God, no, the belt's stuck. And I was like, no, it's fine. No dramas.
Like I said, Disneyland, dream place to get stuck, but on a ride... Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for your call, Katie.
This is The Catch Up.
With
Josiah and Ellie.
All right, right now, though, on a Tuesday, scientists have proven that it's supposed to be your most productive day of the week. But I know that I, for one, woke up in the 7 degrees this morning thinking, do you know what? I'm not feeling very productive. Only had about 4 hours sleep. I could really just go back to bed. So I am here, Goulburn Valley, to lift your levels of productivity on this Tuesday.
Here we go. How many have you got today?
I got 4 for you today.
Great. So out of 4, we're marking our score today. Last week, you were 0.5.
Some of them aren't necessarily about being productive. Some of them are just about lifting your mood.
Oh, now we're getting excuses.
And the first one I think I've done before, but I'm just going to try it one more time. If you're not a smoker, but you don't want to feel left out, you don't want to miss out on maybe some important discussions that are happening in the smoking section of your building, why don't you start carrying a sparkler, and then you'll go out, you'll light their sparkler. By the time your sparkler's done, they'll be done with your cigarette and you can all be friends.
Productive thought.
Okay, I've got 4 things to say about this point.
Four?
Four.
It could be here for a while.
First of all, what, you just vape, right?
That's still smoking, though, isn't it?
No, it's vaping. It's a substitute. Second of all, sparklers will draw a lot of attention to yourself, unwanted, very annoying.
You could just, like, hold it like you'd hold a cigarette between your fingers and just, you know, your sparkler sparkles and everyone else smokes. Easy.
Third one, I can't remember.
Okay.
And fourth one, you've definitely done that before. I reckon we had that about a month ago.
Do you know what? It's hard. It's really hard coming up with productive thoughts every Tuesday. You run out.
0 from 1. Good start. Not very productive so far.
Okay. This was the one I was speaking about elevating your mood. If you're feeling lonely, you and I, in a long-distance relationship, Josiah, we often feel
with
lonely.
With each other.
No. How about you fill a rubber glove with some warm water and then you put it over your hand whenever you feel lonely?
Productive thought.
I'm trying to think.
And then it feels like you're holding hands with someone and there's someone there for you who loves you.
Wouldn't it just feel wet?
No, because it's inside the rubber glove. You can dry it off with a tea towel before you whack it on your hand. That's fine. I'll allow it.
I thought you were going to suggest putting it somewhere else.
Oh, goodness. On your butt.
Yeah, exactly. On your butt.
Sometimes I miss my boyfriend slapping my butt, so I do that. I just right on
the... Oh, slap the butt. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, get the glove out and slap it.
Not like the doctor, the glove.
Oh, God. Josiah, you are concerning me. We're moving right on to the next one. If your kids are having a birthday and they're under the age of about 5, but you don't have enough money to get them any presents, why don't you just not tell them it's their birthday?
Productive thought.
Or even better, don't buy them anything because I don't remember anything before the age of 5. So as if you're not going to just tell the kids won't remember in the future.
Exactly. And they don't know how long a year is, you know? Like, you could just have one every second year. Like, that's how long a year is, kids.
They can't keep track of a calendar, can they?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I like that one. You've got a big tick for me.
All right, finally, you've got to love this one because this is my favourite one I've ever done.
All right, just so you know, the hand one, that got half. So you're on 1.5 right now to 3.
I'm about to be
You need half to get a pass.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
If you put your windscreen wipers up so they're sticking into the air, then parking inspectors can't give you a ticket.
Productive thought.
Best yet.
My only question is what if they put one down?
No, they can't because they can't tamper with your car.
Are they not allowed to?
I don't know. I haven't read the handbook of parking inspectors, but I'm going to say no, they're not allowed to.
You know what? Let's pop into town today and give it a red hot crack.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie.
Yesterday, we were talking about the best celeb that you have seen in the GV. This is after I was at Euroa Farmers Markets on the weekend and saw Ian Hewitson, Huey from Huey's Kitchen.
Yeah.
I was so nervous, and I said it out there. I've met some of the biggest stars in the world in this job. Usher, you name it, big singers, Kelly Rowland, no issues. Interviewed them, got photos, doesn't matter. When I saw Huey, I lost it because I am a diehard fan. He's heard the chat, Ellie, and how exciting is this? Got in touch. I am very nervous, but he joins us on the show now. Huey, good morning.
G'day, guys.
Hello, Huey. Welcome to our show. This is very exciting.
Oh, goodness. You sound mentally impaired, you two, I think. Is that what I've done to you over the years?
A lot of people say that about us, Huey. I'm not going to lie.
No, I was more meeting my cooking skills.
Well, mate, I grew up with you every single day after school, watching it with my old man on the couch. You were just a staple in our household. And then I saw you. I had a chat to you at the markets, but I was too nervous to ask for a photo, even introduce myself. I think I was starstruck, Huey.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it? You should get out more, I think.
Yeah. Fair enough. So what brings you to the Goulburn Valley? Are you living here at the moment, or?
No, I still live in St Kilda. I'm an old St Kilda boy.
Right.
But I make a range of sauces, and I actually am making them at Temple Kitchen, which is next to the Seven Creeks Hotel, because Annie Mann and her family are old friends of mine. Annie Mann and her family own the two of them. And they're the first people I worked for when I came to Australia at the Lemon Tree Hotel in Carlton. So
you're kidding.
We've been mates for a long time, so I don't have a kitchen these days. So I'm making my sauces there. We're doing them at various markets like the Euro one and Violet Town and things like that. And eventually we'll branch out with them. But they're a bit of fun, you know, things like Kick-Ass barbecue sauce and Ring of Fire. And actually, Ring of Fire, if you buy a case of that, Johnny Cash comes and sings the song outside your toilet door.
That is value for money.
Sadly, somebody told me he died, so I'm going to have a bit of trouble getting him out there.
Well, I tried the Ring of Fire one, and it was delicious. It wasn't as hot as I thought. I don't know if you remember me. I was the one that came with my the Kiwi roommate.
Of course I remember you.
Yeah, I can't forget me.
You.
And it was delicious. But yeah, we actually had breakfast at Temple Kitchen. It was a good feed. So I might have to go in there one day when you make the sauces. You might have to give us, you know, my life will be made if I get to have a lesson with you, Huey.
You can always tell when I'm making the sauces because the smell of chili is in the air, because I do like hot things.
How many times have you been cutting chilies and then gone to accidentally touch your eye?
It's funny, isn't it? No, never. I'm telling lies. But there are other parts of the body which are just as painful, but we won't go into that.
Yeah, I've heard that hot tip for men making chili.
You happen to go to the toilet afterwards after you've been... But I didn't mention that, did I? You know, not on a clean show like yours.
No, exactly.
No.
It's called the Ring of Fire for a reason. Well, I was going to say, what I love about you, Huey, and I was speaking about it with Dad last night as well, is when you were cooking, you'd eat as your food, and you're not a lying cook. You know, many that you see like a skinny chef. I think that you had the book, You'd Never Trust a Skinny Chef, right?
I had a show and a book called Never Trust a Skinny Cook. And actually, the funny thing, this guy wrote to me from Western Australia. They must all be skinny over there. But he wrote to me saying that ever since that show and book had come out, his bosses were looking at him in a very different way because he was skinny and it was all my fault. So I thought it was very strange. Once again, he should get out more, I think, or eat more.
Yeah.
But actually, the thing about it is, and being serious for once in my life, is when you are cooking, you always should be tasting. And it's not because you're greedy and not because you want to be fat like me, but the point about it is ingredients differ so much.
Mm.
And it's just because you've got a recipe that says use three of this and four of that, the ingredients could be very different. Unless you taste the food, you don't know what your end product's going to be like.
Yeah,
it may
course.
Need a bit more seasoning. It may need an extra tomato, or it may need extra onion, whatever. But the point about it is, it's not always going to be the same. And I've worked with chefs who never tasted their food, ever.
Yeah,
how do you know what you're putting on the table?
I'm following the recipe, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird.
People. This is what we love about you, Huey. I do miss seeing you on my screens, though, but you do have a YouTube channel now where we can still watch you if we don't want to get out and about and live a life.
Yeah, well, I spent 25 years on Channel 10, and I must admit I was sick to death of it by the time. I may still be sick to death of me, too, but anyway, I was sick to death of it. And I took a year or so off and sat on the couch, and my daughter eventually said to me, who turns 18 this year, said to me, "Dad, you really have to go and do something." And I said, I'm working on it. You know, I'm thinking about it. And she's the one who suggested YouTube. She said, "You'd like that." She said, "Because it's back down to earth like your early shows where it's just you and a cameraman and you can do it at home and things." So I've done my YouTube site, which is called Huey's Fabulous Fast Food for One or Two. And
awesome.
On that, we've got 60 or 70 recipes, and we put a new recipe up every 2 weeks. And I'm really, really enjoying it. It's just me and a young boy who both does the filming and the editing. And, you know, we have a bit of fun with it.
Brilliant.
There you go. So we won't be seeing you pop up as a judge on MasterChef or anything anytime soon?
Sorry, what was that?
We won't be seeing you pop up as a judge on MasterChef.
I don't think so. Somebody said to me, they said, why don't you? I said, hey, I'm a real old-fashioned cook. I cook food that tastes good. Doesn't have to look good, it just tastes good, you know. So I don't think that fits in with the philosophy of MasterChef.
Yeah, there might be a position available on MasterChef pretty soon.
Yes. No, that won't happen. That won't happen. But I'm not much keen on crock and bushes and, you know, things with ducks' bums in them and things, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't do it for me.
Nah, I feel you,
Fair enough, Huey.
I want something that tastes good. Look, I was reading an article the other day about a restaurant which shall remain nameless, but it was talking about all these very strange dishes, and I was thinking to myself, whatever happened to the days when food just had to taste good?
Yeah,
it needs to look good on the plate. Don't take me the wrong way, but it really needs to look good on the plate. But it tastes good. What's this rubbish about it has to have come from, you know, like crocodile ribs and things like this? And I always found crocodile to be, you know, like tough, chewy chicken. It didn't do it for me, but anyway, you know.
There you go.
This
all right.
is why
Times
we love you, Huey.
Exactly. All right. Well, Huey, it's been great having you on our show this morning. We're looking forward to catching you. Are you back in town soon?
Yeah, I am, and I stay at the Seven Creeks and drink in the public bar.
Beautiful.
I've had a couple
best public bar around.
It honestly
apart
is.
Apart from the Northie. Yeah. They tell me the Northie's brilliant too. So couple, I better go and try that.
A couple of Guinnesses, a couple of pints. I'll meet you down at Seven Creeks. We'd be here to make my life, Huey.
Yeah, good on
you. See you,
mate.
Thanks
for joining us.
All right, you can always come and help me chop chilies at the Temple Kitchen.
We'd love to.
I'll bring my goggles. See ya, Huey.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Came into the office this morning. Ellie, guess what I saw yesterday? I don't want to say a classic Shep because it's kind of a negative spin on our local community here, but a lot of people know what I'm saying. When at Riverside Plaza, when I was doing my weekly shop at Coles after work yesterday afternoon, you may have seen it all in the news, guys, there was a fight, 4 people involved.
Were you one of them?
No, safe to say I wasn't, but I was there. I did see it all go down.
Right, so what happened?
So basically I was, I won't go into too many details because I guess police are involved and whatnot, and I was just walking out of the Coles, had my frozen veggies there and my 2 Coles bags, and I'd got my block of chocolate and whatnot, and I was scurrying out the door, and I hear this, F this. I won't go into what they were saying.
Yeah,
as bad,
can't.
The worst. Yeah, I'm not allowed to actually.
We'll lose our license.
The worst language I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And there was 2 parents with their 2 kids. And I don't want to call them scum, but it was pretty well as low life as it gets. And they were going off it. I couldn't see who or why. Mm. But it felt a little bit unsafe because I wasn't sure if they were going after one person or if they were off their heads and just going for anyone in their path.
Yeah.
So I scurried out. I was like, better get out of this situation pretty quick. Left, got in the car. Then I see them come towards my car.
Ah.
I'm like, they're not following me, are they?
They thought, this is just Josiah from the radio. Let's go get an autograph.
Please don't. So I get in the car and they were just walking past. I quickly reverse parked and they're standing in the middle of the road still going.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
The police obviously got called and came and arrested them all. The worst bit about it, 2 kids with them.
Yeah, and do you know what? I feel like this is quite a common thing, and I've noticed it a bit lately. In fact, I wanted to talk about it on the radio a couple of weeks ago because I was at my local shops and noticed she would have been about 3 or 4, little girl running around playing, and her dad grabbed her and started swearing at her and said, I've told you to shut up, and, you know, with some expletives thrown in there, grabbed her and was saying this to her, and I was just staring at him.
He dropped like an F1 to his 3-year-old
daughter?
He did,
yep, multiple. To his 3-year-old little girl who was just playing in the supermarket, you know, like I get kids can be, but there's no need to speak to her like that. And I've been aware of it ever since that. I've been looking out for it. And parents are swearing in front of their kids, I feel like, more and more often these days. And I mean, I'm not a parent, so I can't really comment, but I know growing up, I never had my parents swear in front of me.
Neither did mine.
Yeah. And as a result, I'm now 27. I still feel uncomfortable swearing in front of them. But I don't know. Am I being naive?
No, I understand because you and I, obviously, without different upbringings to many other people, though, I get
if some parents, and I've got friends that do it in front of their kids, they swear to, if I'm over for a beer and a mate swears and the kids happen to walk past, so be it. We're not saying all together, because I know a lot of people are differently, but if you're swearing to your kids and at your kids, if they're a three-year-old and you're calling them an F and this and pull your F and head together, that's a different story, because you're setting a precedence for that kid from such a young age.
Exactly. They're going to go to school and then say it to their classmates, and then, I don't know, I just feel like it's inciting anger in children.
Yeah, from a young age as well. And
yeah.
This kid, one of the kids, I don't know how old he would have been, 15, 16, the one at Riverside yesterday, and he kind of looked at me. He had his head down, his hoodie on. He's kind of just kind of embarrassed for his own parents.
Yeah.
I felt like saying, mate, come with me. You don't have to live that life.
Yeah. Well, 13, 12, 16, we want you to get involved this morning in this. Swearing in front of your kids, is it okay? Do you do it? Or, you know, are you against it? We just want to open up the phones this morning, have a discussion. We do have a $100 scratchy kit to give away to the best caller today. So, you know, that's an incentive to get involved in the discussion.
Caller of the day every day gets $100 worth of scratchies. Give us a call, 13, 12, 16, with your thoughts this morning.
Let's go to Julie from Maroopna. Julie, what do you reckon?
Not appropriate. You shouldn't be swearing in front of anybody. It doesn't matter whether they're kids or adults. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
Well, at least you should be able to have the self-control, in my opinion, Julie,
exactly
be able
right.
to filter it. Like if you're around the boys or whatever at the pub, and then when you're around your kids or around your, you know, filter it where you use your language.
Yeah, and words destroy people's lives. It doesn't matter what anybody says. If you talk to people like that, you're going to bring them down, hurt them, cut them deeply. It's not good.
Yep, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will hurt me.
Absolutely.
And you think you may be disciplining your kid, but at 3 years old, if you're saying those sorts of words,
Julie, got no self-control, really.
Exactly right. Have you got kids of your own?
My kids are quite old, but, yeah, it's not appropriate. Never speak to kids like that. Like, you have respect. Gotta show them the right way to grow up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a cyclical thing, isn't it? If kids grow up thinking that's
right.
okay, then they'll pass it down to their kids and, you know.
And the cycle continues.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. All right, well, thanks so much for getting involved this morning, Jules.
Not a worry.
All right, let's move on to Jacob from Echuca. Jacob, what are your thoughts? Swearing in front of kids, is it okay?
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely horrible. I've had some pretty bad experiences with, well, my ex-ex who had kids. And she would absolutely just let rip if her little two did something a little bit wrong, nothing over the top, but just a little bit wrong. But in public or in the car, just absolutely let rip F-bombs, C-bombs.
Oh, God.
How did that make you feel? Were you embarrassed?
Oh, embarrassed. It's just such an awkward feeling, especially if you're in the main street or in a supermarket and this is happening. Like, just settle the kid down, you know? I know kids are one of the kids and they're adventurous and everything like that, but there's absolutely no way ever any parent should be swearing in front of their kids. It's just not a way to bring up your kids at all.
Great.
Yeah, right. Did you ever feel like you could kind of tell her off or have a conversation with her about it or not?
Oh, absolutely. And she simply said, my kids, my rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
X for a reason, I'm guessing, Jacob.
Very much so. Very much so.
All right. Thanks so much for getting involved this morning.
No worries, guys.
The phones have really been lining up for this one this morning. Let's go to Tom in Wang. Tom, what are your thoughts on swearing in front of your kids?
I don't find it very appropriate, but I can understand when some people do it. I've got four kids and every now and then it will just slip out. That's an excuse, but...
Yeah, right. So just the frustration's too much and it's just you can't stop yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like,
especially with kids, having four of them as well, if they're in an absolute, you know, crazy, naughty mode, mate, do you sometimes just can't feel to yourself and you let it go?
Yeah, I have my days. I work night shifts, my wife works days, so it's only ever one of us at home.
Yeah, right.
Oh, especially when you're trying to sleep in the day and they're making noise.
Yeah.
Hey, what are your thoughts on if they come out with a swear word? Do you discipline them or do you just say, all right, fair enough, I use it too?
I tell them it's not very appropriate depending on what word they're using.
Yeah.
But my girls tend not to swear anyway. They just don't do it.
What are your thoughts on that couple that I saw at the shops? There's one thing at home when you're tired, night shift, and the kids are playing up, but would you ever do it in public at Coles or something like that, grab them and screen, or is that just so out of the equation?
That's very out of the equation.
Yes.
Very,
all right. Interesting chat.
Not too fast in their defense.
Yeah, right. Okay, so thanks so much for your call, Tom.
No problem.
This is The Catch-Up
with Josiah and Ellie.
Australian Ninja Warrior. I have not stopped watching this season.
It's addictive, isn't it?
Oh, so addictive. Makes me feel bad about myself because I can't do any cool tricks, but that's okay. Someone who's tipped as one of the favourites is Raffaella. She joins us now. Morning, Raffaella.
Morning. How are you guys?
Oh, well, thank you. Now, you are in the semi-finals. Congratulations for making it that far.
Thank you so much.
Are you feeling okay? You're nervous?
I'm so excited. I'm so ready to try everything on the course. It looks so fun.
What I've got a question for all the ninjas is, no matter how much preparation, no matter how much training you put into it, you can't build that course. Like, you can't remodel unless you're a multi-millionaire. So how do you prep for it?
Yeah, it's so hard. That's the challenge that all of us kind of meddle with. I guess I go to my climbing and I hope that gives me an edge. But some people have definitely attempted to build the course in their backyards. I don't know if you've seen Pa Rambo's backyard ninja course.
Yeah.
But it is insane. Yeah. So they've tried.
It's a cool little hobby to have. Now, I'm reading here that you're a bouldering champion. What exactly does bouldering involve?
Yeah, so I think most people know rock climbing with ropes outdoors. So bouldering is kind of the same thing, but no ropes. You generally climb shorter walls, so about 4 to 5 meters, and you drop down onto pads. But hopefully if you're climbing like the higher walls, you don't plan to drop.
Wow.
What do you mean you drop down onto pads? So you don't have any support of any kind and you just jump off?
No, yeah. No, so it tends to be like shorter and more powerful climbs.
Right.
Hopefully your body's made of rubber as well for when you land.
Yeah.
Unfortunately not. I've broken my ankle twice.
Oh.
Touch wood. That doesn't happen again.
Hey, I do want to talk to you about, you do on the side, you're a roof climb leader at Adelaide Oval. So is that, you know, when you are watching the cricket or the footy and you can have that experience where you sit on top of Adelaide Oval, are you one of the people that helps those people?
Yeah, for sure. I'm basically the leader. So I take groups of up to 14 up on the roof. I tell them a bit about Adelaide and SA, and we either like watch a sunset or watch a game. So it's pretty sick, kind of like a 2-hour thing.
Because whenever I'm watching the footy, I always look and go, I want to do that. It looks so exciting. Who's the most famous person you've had up there with you?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Eddie Betts was pretty cool. He was so nervous up there. So that was really cool. Like, we've had Hugh Sheridan and stuff. So there's a lot of cool people that come through.
What's it like watching a game from up there? I imagine you probably couldn't see a whole lot, could you? I mean, I suppose you can see everything,
Yeah, that's what people think. They're like, oh, you're so high up. But, like, you feel so close to it all. You actually have, like, a bird's eye view of the whole thing, and people get really into it. They're, like, shouting down to the game. I'm like, they can't hear you. Like,
you're like a real-life drone up there, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. That's such a cool way to describe it, pretty much.
Yeah. So I take it you're not scared of heights at all?
No, of course not. It's like where I feel most at home and most alive.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
You and I are like the opposite person. I'm scared of heights and I'm not a ninja.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
I am a ninja, though, so, yeah, I just like... We established with Olivia Vivian when we had her on that Josiah and I qualify as couch ninjas.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, that's arguably the better kind of ninja,
so... Well, you know what? That's exactly where you're going to find us tonight, 7:30 on Channel 9, watching Australian Ninja Warrior Raffaella. Good luck tonight. We'll be watching with excitement and cheering you on as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.